want to share the good news with you, and I want you to think about the ways you can share that good news with others. We have good news to share. The phrase good news is one we often hear associated with evangelical Christianity. The gospel books of the Christian Bible tell us many times that Jesus was bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. What that means, the kingdom of God, is a matter for discussion and debate. And the answer to the question largely depends on the religious denomination providing the answer. I'm not going to give you my answer to that question today because that's not what this sermon is about. But I wanted us to be aware that the phrase, bringing the good news, has come to be associated by many with religious outreach, with the kind of ardent enthusiasm that leads people to hand out church pamphlets and go door to door talking with strangers about church and religion. Don't worry, that's not what I'm going to suggest. But I do want to suggest that we have good news to share, and that there are people in our lives desperately in need of community, a community that welcomes a diversity of beliefs and spiritual practices, as we do. At our annual denominational meeting in June, the president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, Peter Morales, shared some recent statistics concerning social isolation. These numbers come from a 2004 study published in the American Sociological Review. The study reported that when asked to whom could they confide their personal troubles, 25% of people surveyed reported having no one. Not a spouse or partner, not a family member, not a neighbor or coworker or friend. One in four people. This number is more than double than what it was in 1985 when the same survey was taken. That's a big change in 25 years. Of those who have someone to confide in, 80% of people surveyed reported that they confide their personal troubles only to a family member. That's a 40% increase from 1985. I don't think that confiding in family is bad or wrong, but it speaks again to isolation. When our only confidants are family members, that means we have few connections to people from different backgrounds, people with substantially different life experiences and worldviews. I feel like that's a lot of numbers, so I'm going to summarize. One in four people have no one to confide in. And of those who have someone to talk to, the vast majority of people confide only in family. That means that only 15% of all people surveyed have anyone outside their family to talk to. That's not very many. I suspect many of us here are part of that 15%. I have heard people here share deeply just during an average check-in session before the start of a meeting. And I know there are friendships in the congregation that allow for even deeper sharing. Some of you have shared deeply with me just in my short time here. And you know that Katie is available when you need to talk. We are privileged to have each other. We are privileged to share the love of this community. And church is what makes that possible for us. I want to share a story about the difference that church can make in a person's life. This is a true story, and it's an important one. Many of us remember the tragedy at Columbine High School in 1999. Two troubled teens had been picked on and felt themselves the butt of every joke. They were ostracized by the popular kids, and they decided to get even. They planned their revenge. They obtained guns and ammunition, and they went to school. They killed 13 people and wounded 21 others before killing themselves. It is the deadliest massacre to have occurred at a high school in United States history. But what you may not know is that there was a third student, equally despondent, who used to hang out with the other two. This student felt equally displaced, unhappy, and angry. But then something happened. Cliche as it might sound, he started going to church. He went to the church youth group. He found some people to talk to, some people to confide in. He was not one of the shooters that terrible day. I'm sure there are many reasons why, but it is part of his story that he had found a community outside of school, a place to feel at home, a place to be himself in new and better ways. And it makes me teary because the place he found was Columbine Unitarian Universalist Church. Never doubt that Unitarian Universalism saves lives. That's a dramatic story and an extreme one. Not everyone who is isolated and angry resorts to violence. But I think the story lifts up for us that being in a loving community where difference is embraced rather than mocked is profoundly life-changing. I know it has been for me. As a longtime practicing and devout neo-pagan, I never felt comfortable in neo-pagan community, where adherence to a different kind of dogma and a distrust of mainstream religions felt uncomfortable to me. And although my partner is supportive of my neo-pagan beliefs and practices, they are not his. He was raised Catholic and is on his own spiritual journey. For us, finding Unitarian Universalism was a homecoming, a place we could worship together, a place where we could each explore our own beliefs, and a place for us to be in community with other seekers and questioners. I imagine that whether we are aware of it or not, each of us here knows someone outside this community, someone who has no one to confide in. Someone in the workplace, a neighbor, an isolated family member, someone new to the area, maybe. Next Sunday is Bring a Friend Sunday here at Star Canyon Church. Although we can, of course, always bring a friend any Sunday, we've set aside a special day to get us all thinking about bringing friends. And also to be sure that the worship service is especially appropriate for first-time visitors. Katie's sermon topic is the importance of friendships, and we are having a potluck lunch afterwards in celebration of our accreditation as a Green Sanctuary. What a wonderful way to introduce people to this church. Someone expressed concern to me that if we all bring a friend next week, there won't be room for all of us to sit. It's my understanding that on last year's Bring a Friend Sunday, nobody brought a friend. So, if everybody brings a friend next Sunday and we have nowhere to sit, that seems to me to be a wonderful problem. And we'll figure it out if that happens. And I encourage you to get here early next week so you're sure to get a chance. I have never brought a friend to church. The idea of approaching even a friend to talk about my religious beliefs and to ask them about theirs feels like the kind of pushy evangelicalism that makes my skin crawl. And two people were there to talk to me about my religious beliefs. I politely let them know that I'm studying to be a minister, and I feel pretty locked in to my mind. And they politely left. I am simultaneously sympathetic to their work and uncomfortable with it. We live in a world where almost all forces are pushing us toward the isolation and disconnection we've been talking about. There was a time in the history of this country where a knock on the door might have been exciting and interesting, a chance to meet someone new, a chance to learn about something new. Not, as it is now, an unwelcome intrusion. One more piece of an endless barrage of information and pleas for our attention that come from our TVs, radios, computer screens, our mail slots, email inboxes, billboard signs, the size of buses, and written in the sky. Yes, church is a place of resistance to these forces, a place where we come together in community. But how do we get the word out about how great church is without becoming part of that endless barrage of information? I'm sympathetic to the people at my door wanting to bring me into community in case I am one of the isolated. And I am uncomfortable with strangers at my door asking me personal questions in the hopes of increasing church membership. I sensed the nervousness of the people at my door knocking and interrupting my morning. They apologized, asserted that they knew I must be busy. They seemed almost relieved when I sent them away. I imagine they often meet with rudeness as they go door to door. I do not envy them that work. Which is why I really like the idea of Bring a Friend Sunday. Because I do know that Unitarian Universalism saves lives. I know that one in four people have no one to confide in. I know that experiencing the shared love of community is life-changing. And I don't have to go door to door selling Unitarian Universalism as if I'm working on commission. I don't have to approach strangers and pry into their personal lives. I don't have to interrupt someone's morning and hope they aren't rude to me in response. I asked Lane to tell that story today, a story I've heard her tell before, because I love that story. I love the defiance of the young people in insisting that they travel into the unknown together. I love the trickery in walking into the woods and then waiting for each other. That story is an inspiration to me. Too often I feel I need to go it alone, as if individualism were a sign of strength, as if needing friends were a sign of weakness. But there is no shame in yearning for companionship as we enter the unknown. Coming to a church for the first time can be a daunting experience. That may be fresh for some of us, and that may be longer ago for others of us. Knowing where to go, wondering what the service will be like, should we stay for coffee or just get out fast? Being here with a friend can soften all that worry. When we bring a friend, we are hosts welcoming guests into our home, making them comfortable, showing them where the bathrooms are, answering their questions. We can let them know not to be afraid of the greeting line before worship, that it's just a place to quickly say hello, not a place for a long conversation. We can let them know not to be intimidated by the receiving line afterwards, that it's just a place for a few quick comments about the sermon, the for the worship before getting to the real business of the coffee. These are things that can be confusing to first-time visitors. But all that changes when coming with a friend who can provide guidance. I have never brought a friend to church, but because next Sunday is Bring a Friend Sunday, I can now say that I have invited a friend to church. I sent an email yesterday to an acquaintance who recently moved to the Bay Area, and I invited her to attend church with us next week. I felt nervous for all the reasons I shared. But when I think about strangers coming to my door unannounced, people who don't know me, people willing to interrupt me in my home, I see that reaching out to someone I already know is an act of hospitality, not intrusion. I invite friends over to dinner. I invite friends out to the movies. Why wouldn't I invite a friend to my church? This is a place filled with love. Why would I hesitate to share this with someone I care about? When I extended my invitation, I didn't have to tell my friend everything there is to know about Unitarian Universalism and what we stand for. It was enough to say, from what I know about you, I think you might be interested in this, and it would be fun for us to go together. I don't know if my invitation will be accepted or not. I haven't heard back yet. I made it clear that I would not take a refusal personally. And I made it clear that we could go on a different Sunday if next week doesn't work. But I feel good about having extended the invitation. Unitarian Universalism has changed my life. I believe in us and what we stand for. I am proud of our social justice work and our Standing on the Side of Love campaign. I am moved by the shared love of our communities, of this community, and the care we take with one another. As I make my way in the world, I know I am not alone, and that is a gift I hope to share. Our readings today were about love. Our closing hymn and post-lead are about love. Because for me, that is the good news of Unitarian Universalism. Love. The formation of our denomination is grounded in the unwavering belief that God's love for us, if there is a God, that God's love for us is infinite, not just given to a chosen few. That God is love. That we come together in love. That love is the salvation of all that plagues our world, and that standing on the side of love is our position on all matters. Love pulls us back from the temptation to violence. Love transforms isolation into connection. Love is why we come together on Sunday morning. May each of us here summon the courage to share the good news of Unitarian Universalism.